Welcome back to What Did They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss the first place Chicago Bears and the surprising teams that are in danger of missing the playoffs. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back to week 11 on the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. Hope y'all are having a great week, a good kickoff to your week. How are you, man? How was the bye week?
It was fantastic. You know, I didn't have to worry about anything. I got my merch on as well, my sweater. Wouldn't know against the bye week, I suppose.
There you go.
Yep, absolutely.
Love it. All right, so we will kick it off, as always, with some top stories, and I'm going to let Jeff take it this week.
Perfect. Well, my top story is the Bears. The Bears.
The Bears.
Who would have envisioned the Bears leading their division, you know, week 11?
I'm a little irritated about this, to be honest with you. The fact that we have to talk about the Bears being in first place.
Yeah.
They're right there. They're probably top two or three of my biggest frauds
list
right now.
Yes.
So I'm very annoyed that like they're 7-3 and we have to talk about them.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I mean, I was trying to like look at the stats, see how is this happening? I still don't have an idea. I don't know what's going on. All I know is they're second in the NFL in rushing. So DeAndre Swift, common non guy. And they've been getting it done. Caleb Williams on some scrambles, and they've been leading the attack for the most part. I mean, their defense hasn't really kept up to par. They're 27th in yards per game allowed and 26th in points per game allowed.
They do get a lot of takeaways.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I will say they do well.
Yep.
They take the ball away and give Caleb Williams more chances.
Yeah, and I mean, those two stats are kind of, I wouldn't say inflated, but they are definitely swayed by the two games against week two was against the Lions, 51 points allowed there, and then another one, a win against Cincinnati, that back and forth game where I feel like Cincinnati recovered an onside kick, then all of a sudden Chicago came back. But that was 42 points allowed right there, so that spikes that up a little bit. But as we talked about previously with the Bears, I feel like their defense is very, they tend to lose focus every once in a while, but they are a very talented group. As you said, they get turnovers at a pretty good rate. So that gives at least Caleb Williams enough chances, enough opportunities to score points for the Chicago Bears. But I feel like they're there with like the Denver Broncos who just, you know, find a way to win and have a game-winning drive at the end of the game where I feel like all Bears fans are like, how do we even end up here? And then they just win, and they're like all happy about it.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I feel like the head coach, that you know, the big flashy hire, is working out, but not in the reason that I feel like everybody thought.
Right.
Caleb Williams is not tearing the roof off the place.
No.
He's. I heard somebody today still say that he's managing the game.
Mm.
Right. Which I guess is a little better than what he was doing last year. Last year he didn't look like anything great. This year he's just not making the mistake. Which I feel like people expected more with Ben Johnson coming in.
Right.
But where Johnson actually is paying off is they're doing the little things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Where with Matt Eberflus, amongst other things, they did a lot of things wrong.
Right.
Right. So I feel like, you know, he's paying dividends not because of the work he's doing with the quarterback, although he has improved.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the game managing. It's the squeaking out the close wins. They're learning how to win.
Right.
So I guess you got to give them kudos. I mean, how many? I don't know if you know it, but they have at least two or three game winning field goals.
Yeah.
So like they're squeaking them out.
Yeah.
I would venture to guess that their point differential is slim to none. I'm gonna look it up.
Look it up.
Because you know when you factor in them getting blown out by the Lions.
Yeah.
I bet you their point differential is very bad.
Yeah, it's good. It might be close to zero, to be honest with you.
The Chicago Bears, points for 258, points allowed 264. So they've scored less than what they've given up, but they have a 7-3 record because they're winning these close games. They're the Chiefs last year.
Yeah.
Which, maybe they're not even as good as the Chiefs were last year, but you get my point.
Yeah, 11-0 last year, the Chiefs were in one score game. So I completely understand the reasoning. Obviously, Caleb Williams is no Patrick Mahomes, so you don't want to rely on Caleb Williams too much to, you know, lead you on that game-winning drive. But I mean, it's paying dividends right now. I mean, for Ben Johnson, I like what he's doing. Obviously, the biggest testament on his job is the progression of Caleb Williams. But I feel like Caleb Williams and Jared Goff are two completely separate quarterbacks. You know,
oh, for
Caleb
sure.
Williams is more that mobile, and Jared Goff is more that classic,
pocket,
you know,
passer.
Pocket passer.
Yeah.
But yeah, and with Ben Johnson, I feel like a lot of his offensive schemes deals with timing, and I'm not sure if Caleb Williams is there yet. I'm not sure if he trusts himself to make the throws on the exact timing that he needs to do. That's why he probably, you know, scrambles a little bit to the right or moves a little bit to the left and creates these openings with his receivers by just extending the play. So Ben Johnson's real test is going to see if he fluctuates towards a Caleb Williams sort of offense, or if he sticks to his guns and maybe Caleb Williams progresses in that way where he trusts his instincts a little bit more with his arm. But yeah, as of right now, the Bears sitting at 7-3 is surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find out pretty quickly about them.
yeah, their schedule's pretty
Their schedule's not great. I mean, they got the Steelers this week. Who knows what that's going to look like with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But then they got the Eagles on Black Friday, then the Packers. Then 2 weeks from that, they got the Packers again.
Yep.
Followed by finishing off the season at the 49ers and then home to the Lions.
Yeah, it's pretty
so that's,
daunting.
That's going to tell you all you need to know. If they can win those games or, you know, the majority of them,
mm-hmm.
that'll tell me a lot. But right now, I'm not on the Bears train.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to be. Especially looking at that schedule. That's going to be rough. Alas. And then my second one is Detroit and KC being outside the playoff picture right now.
Isn't that crazy?
I,
it's insane. I feel like we are shaping up to have one of the more exciting / interesting playoffs we've had in a while, simply because there's going to be, it appears,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a lot of new teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously the Patriots have been missing out on the playoffs for a little bit ever since Tom Brady left. The Broncos haven't really made a name for themselves until now in the previous couple of years. I mean, it's overall,
the Ravens aren't in it right now either.
Yeah, the Ravens at 5-5. I mean, they're on a 4-game winning streak. And then Pittsburgh, who knows what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. As we've talked about before, the Ravens have that division to steal. Basically sitting in the lead right now, to be honest. But, yeah, overall, I just do not know how this has transpired to be how this happened. Detroit and KC have been known to have prolific offenses and, in Casey's respect, a prolific defense, to be honest with you. Steve Spagnuolo, I mean, they've always been known to, you know, give Patrick Mahomes the ball at the end of the game, and that's how they were 11-0 last year in one possession games, and now they're 0-5 this year. And they just aren't making the plays that they were last year. And I feel like they're a poor Buffalo Bills offense in this regard, where they don't really have the wide receivers to match up. Obviously, Buffalo, I feel like, has a better run game with James Cook. KC has a better tight end with Travis Kelce. And KC, I feel like, has a better defense overall. But I feel like what you're seeing is a lot of these teams starting to catch up with what was basically a KC, Baltimore, and Buffalo regime there in the AFC. And then the NFC side, Detroit, I think the last year was their year. They needed to do it, but... this year, it just seems like offensively, they've lost a little bit of a pep in their step, or Dan Campbell just feels like he's out to prove something. I mean, going for it for five times on fourth down is pretty reckless.
I mean, that's him, though.
That's
right?
The style.
I mean,
but
you can't even fault him. I mean, that's that he lives and dies by fourth down.
Yeah. I don't know.
I personally think of the two,
mm-hmm.
Detroit's going to be fine.
Yeah, Detroit.
I still think Detroit's going to win their division.
Yeah, Detroit has the easier path for sure.
I just think that they're going to be fine. You got to take last night against the Eagles for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles have probably a top three defense in the whole league.
Yeah.
And it was, windier than crap, so the conditions were terrible.
Yeah.
Last week they put up 1,000,000 points against the Commanders,
mm-hmm.
that they being the Lions.
Right.
Right. They, you know, we just talked about how they put up 52 week two against the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Lions are going to be fine. I don't think people are scared of the Chiefs anymore.
No.
I think that's the biggest thing. You saw the last couple weeks, the Bills got some tremendous pressure, some tremendous hits on Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Denver blitzed the crap out of him yesterday, got three sacks, hit him good, had at least one pick.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is Kansas City does not run the ball.
Yeah, no.
Like, I know they probably did at some point yesterday, but I had that game on. I had it on. I had all four late games on at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the split screen for NFL tickets. So I'm watching them all kind of sporadically. I swear to God, I didn't see one run play. Not one.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, with no threat to run, you can pretty much play your defense a specific way.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, with the Bills having James Cook, it's a little different.
No.
But I think the Chiefs are in trouble, man. And here's the one thing, one of the many things they have going against them, but it could arguably be the biggest. The three wild card teams right now, the Bills, the Jags, and the Chargers,
mm-hmm.
all have the tiebreaker over Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that doesn't play for them. Like,
right.
If it comes, I mean, Mahomes even said it yesterday, which I was actually really shocked at. He goes, you know, the division's maybe a little far fetched right now.
Yeah, the four games.
They have four games behind.
Yeah.
So that's probably not going to happen. And I mean, the wild card, man. Like, to lose the tiebreaker to all three current wild card teams.
Yeah.
Is not good.
That's Steve Hill to climb. I mean, obviously the. The one who might fumble last half of the season is probably Jacksonville. Obviously, there's not a lot of confidence. I mean, who knows what Jacksonville team you get every
I'm
week?
I'm so done with Jacksonville.
What did they do? 35-6 over
Dude,
the Chargers?
Unbelievable.
I have absolutely no idea how that happened. But I mean, Chargers are sitting there at 7-4. Jacksonville 6-5 and Kansas City at 5-5. So, to me, I mean, it is a steep hill to climb. Obviously, you have the quarterback to do it. I feel like your defense has been playing at a high level. I don't think they've been, you know, routed or anything. I feel like they've always been in the game. I mean, 0-5, one possession games. That's all the losses. But at the same time, I just do not see them having the offensive output that we come to expect with Andy Reid-led offense, to be honest with you. And I think that's going to be their shortcoming. As long as the Chargers and the Jags don't blow it, I mean, but you have Baltimore there. Even if they win their division, you still have the Steelers game ahead of you, 6-4. I mean, there's a lot of teams jumbled up there. I'd be very surprised to see Kansas City not in it. At the same time, looking at it, I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense. It checks out.
I still am of the opinion, like, I can't unsee them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I can't sit here and say, yeah, they're done.
Yeah, we can't envision
it. Week 18, if they're not in it, okay, let's talk.
Yeah.
But I just can't – I can't wrap my mind around that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I agree with you. Yeah. One last thing for Detroit. Sam Laporta, IR, back issue.
Yeah, that's rough.
Brock Wright steps into that role, but he had 7 targets yesterday. And only 2 receptions for 8 yards. So that's going to be production that they're going to have to find elsewhere. I mean, but they have the weapons to do it. St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Montgomery. Take your Jameson Williams. Take your pick. But it is a big loss because that is a tremendous portion of their offense, Sam Laporta. That's it. That's all I got. All
right. I love it.
Yep.
It's a good start. So it's funny. I thought that coming out of the Bengals and the Steelers game yesterday – I was going to be discussing one quarterback injury and what it could mean, and, you know, Joe Burrow coming back and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually starting with a different quarterback injury, being Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So, you know, Aaron Rodgers didn't even play the second half with what they call a slight left wrist fracture.
Yeah.
So that's – I mean, we already talked about how we think that Baltimore has – the clear path to the division.
Mm-hmm.
And that was even before this injury. I mean, Mason Rudolph came in yesterday and, you know, did not play terrible. His numbers 12 of 16, 127 yards, 1 touchdown. But again, that's against an abysmal of a defense.
Yeah.
in Cincinnati.
An atrocity.
Absolutely just disgusting defense. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how much time Rodgers is going to miss, if any. I mean, you know that dude is tough as nails. You can say what you want about him, but he plays through. If he physically can walk, it seems like the dude plays.
Yeah.
So their next couple opponents, they play at Chicago this week. That's brutal. Then they got Buffalo. Then they're at the Ravens. So these next 3 games are crucial for Pittsburgh. So I'm really curious to see if Rodgers can play, and if he can't, what Mason Rudolph is able to do. Because one thing that I heard a multiple people comment on today was that it seems like Rodgers is pretty much, they called him Chuck and Duck. Like, he just throws it to DK Metcalf real quick, and then he ducks out of the way so it doesn't get hit. Where they commented, you know, Rudolph is more willing to stand in the pocket, kind of take that hit, throw, make some throws downfield.
Miles Garrett can attest.
Correct.
Yeah. With the helmet test. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see. I'm not saying, by no means am I saying that Rudolph is going to be better or it's going to be better for Pittsburgh. Mm. I'm just curious as what it's going to look like and what the offensive flow might look like.
Yeah, the one good thing is basically Rudolph has been there a while. He's familiar with Mike Tomlin and how that whole organization works and what they expect from him. Mason Rudolph, I mean, he's had his opportunities there to be the starting quarterback. You know, obviously, it hasn't worked out in the way he probably would have wanted. But at the same time, if there's any quarterback that you think that's going to get you through, it's going to be a guy who's been there a while. But I mean, it's those three games: Chicago, Baltimore, and Buffalo. That's a tough task. I mean, the fortunate part for Aaron Rodgers is in his non-throwing hand, so he just needs, you know, catch the ball, hiking the ball. But you'd at least, the most winnable game there, I think, is the Bears, obviously. But to me, it's kind of a terrible timing that he suffered it right now.
Yeah.
If the Bears was on the back end of that three-game little stretch here, I'd be like, yeah, they'd probably win that one and maybe put in Mason Rudolph for the first two, just give Aaron Rodgers some time. I mean, even if you lose both of them, it is what it is, but get Aaron Rodgers ready for the stretch. But, I mean, if you lose all three of them, all of a sudden you're sitting at 6-7 and you're probably on the outside looking in. Well, that's rough for Mike Tomlin to decide what's going to go on. With Aaron Rodgers at his age, do you really want to go and send him out there and risk even further injury? It's a coin flip either way. But to me, I'd probably trot out Rudolph if Aaron Rodgers has any discomfort in that left arm. What do you even put on that? Like a brace of some sort on his left wrist or something?
I was sitting here trying to think, like, mechanically, how much you actually use that hand even for.
Yeah, you just catch the ball, I feel like.
I mean, you've seen quarterbacks that have an injury to their offhand where they hand off using their good hand.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's not uncommon.
Right.
Snaps, it's your bottom hand.
Yeah, it's hit right there.
So, I mean, yeah, you're taking the ball right to that injury. So, yeah. I mean, it's got to be bad enough because he didn't, you know, play a whole second half yesterday.
Right.
So, I'm it's curious, but I was sitting there today almost like, you know, trying to mimic taking the hike and like what you do as a quarterback, and to me, it's easy for me to say, it's like, oh, it's your left hand, you don't hardly use it, like, just get in there and throw the ball. But what do they know?
what do they know?
Yeah,
she's your right hand. Come on.
So I'm really curious to see what, you know, if he plays and what it looks like, and especially if he doesn't play.
Yeah,
but
I mean, if he doesn't, all of a sudden you're thinking about Mike Tomlin's winning record in that streak.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yep,
agreed. So my second top story is Atlanta, and I don't know if this is necessarily as much of, do you already have something on Atlanta?
No.
I don't know if it's as much as necessarily a top.
I'm just wondering why. That's why I was like, okay.
I'm just wondering why. Why the hell are you talking about Atlanta? shut up. So I wrote this down, and maybe this is not necessarily a top story, but it's more of a bold take or an overreaction. But I think Atlanta after this season could potentially clean house.
Oh, they should.
I think that they might reevaluate being Michael Penix Jr. and I think Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris, for sure.
I think they're both gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, they lost yesterday. They blew a huge lead against Carolina, who's the
Cinderella.
Frustrating team. One of the most frustrating teams in the league. Are you going to be good or are you not going to be good?
Right.
Just make up your mind. But Atlanta, so Michael Penix re-aggravated a knee injury, and it sounds like he made it worse. So he's going to be out for the season. This, did you know? I mean, we kind of already knew, but when I saw the number put on it, between college and pro, this is his fifth season-ending injury.
I know that.
Fifth. Between college and pros. So, I mean, you are what you are.
Yeah.
Right? You're injury prone. This is going to continue to happen for him, in my opinion. And quite honestly, even a healthy Michael Penix, what have they done?
Right.
From an offensive standpoint.
Yeah.
They have all the weapons in the world to be dynamic. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, Bijan Robinson, and they just cannot figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think if you know, they're 3-7 right now, if they don't, I mean, what number do they have to get to keep, for Raheem Morris to keep his job? He finished 8-9 last year. He's 3-7 this year, so that's 11-16 overall as his for his time as the head coach. I just think it's bound to happen. We need to add him to my list that I had a few weeks ago of coaching vacancies, because I think Atlanta is going to be right up there, and I think that they're going to be in the mix for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Which is crazy and really sucky for them, because their first-round pick, which right now I think is slated to be number 8, goes to L.A. Goes to the Rams.
That's just terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you just spent, what they draft Michael Penix at 7th overall?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, then you signed
7th or 8th, right around there.
Yep, and they signed Kirk Cousins through that mega deal right prior to that. I mean, I feel like they just, everything they've done or tried to do just backfired on them. Raheem Morris, I think it's pretty obvious that he's not the man for the job anymore. I feel like this is 2 years in a row. We both went in thinking Atlanta might win the division, or
I picked him to win the division.
Yeah, or is at least the most talented to challenge Tampa Bay for the division title. And it's been 2 years of just pure mediocrity at this point. They should be doing a lot more with the talent they have. Whether it's scheming or just overall, focus, or maybe there's some in-house stuff that's leadership issues. Obviously, Michael Penix, with his injury history, Kirk Cousins being ousted halfway into his first year as quarterback.
And Cousins looked terrible yesterday.
Yeah.
When he came in, he looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Big Kirk Cousins fan.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he wasn't handing the ball off, he was checking it down to Bijan or Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah.
Like, he did not stretch the ball downfield, couldn't make any throws. He looked like shell of the old Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it's been such a 180.
If that's what they have for the rest of the year,
yeah.
And not to mention, Drake London is injured now for at least, he's out at least this week. Who knows, he's got a PCL knee injury.
Ooh.
So who knows how long he's going to be out. They've already ruled him out for next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's longer than that.
Okay.
And I just think that it's going to go downhill really, really fast. Who was their head coach prior to Raheem Morris?
I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember, because it seems like no coach can figure out Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, they have had the offense to be good for several years now. I mean, Drake London has been in the league, I want to say, 4 years, same amount of time as Garrett Wilson,
because
they drafted him before the Jets drafted Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
That's the only reason I remember that.
Right.
So it's been, I think this is their fourth year, and everybody has been saying it was Kyle Pitts the year before that.
Kyle Pitts, yep.
So it's like, man, why can't they figure it out?
Right.
And I think, I want to say they had an offensive mind prior to Raheem Morris. Obviously, Raheem Morris has a defensive background. I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, look it up. As soon as you say it, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Especially with Atlanta being in the Saints division, but shows how little input they put.
Mike Smith? Was it Mike Smith?
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Oh. I thought he was a lot longer.
Hold on.
I thought there was someone else in between.
This is where I need AI.
ChatGPT, where you at? Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so does that make a little bit more sense now why I...
Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from. Atlanta is definitely one of those teams where you felt like they'd be a lot bigger of a player, especially at this point in the year than they are. I mean, they're like the Panthers, but just in reverse. They're losing.
Arthur Smith.
Arthur
Smith, yeah, offensive mind,
yeah.
Came from Tennessee, and they just never figured it out.
Yeah.
So, two coaches now who just have not been able to get them consistent. There are, we talked about it. I mean, I still cannot get over that this 3-7 Falcons team is the team we watched Monday Night Football against the Bills.
That just dismantled them.
Dismantled them. Yeah. Crushed them. Looked like a well-oiled machine on offense and defense.
But still, that's two bad losses that we've seen the Bills lose on running games.
Yeah.
Miami and Achan. Bijan and Atlanta. It's just one of those things where you just match up well against a certain opponent, I suppose.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll be curious to see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
I part of me thinks they're going to get rid of Raheem Morris and keep Penix, which I think is a mistake.
I mean, at this point, what do you even do to be honest, to change the quarterback situation anyway?
They don't have the draft capital because they gave it all away.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they kind of have to stick with him, and the only thing left to do is change the coach.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. But it's a curious team for me to watch in the offseason.
Perfect.
All right, overreactions. What do you got this week?
So I'm shifting over to another NFC South coach.
Okay.
So Todd Bowles isn't a quality NFL head coach.
Wow.
Todd Bowles.
That's a bold take.
It is a very bold take.
Why do you say that?
Well, first of all, his tenure with the Jets was also is there.
Yeah.
Is there.
That's a thing.
But
that's every coach does that. Yeah. Jets. So.
But he's been in Tampa Bay. This is his fourth year there. And let's be honest, the NFC South hasn't been a perennial, you know, powerhouse of division for the past 4 years. And let me say his records: 8-9, 9-8, 10-7. He's improved by one game every single season.
Okay.
He's 6-4 this year. Yes, you have a winning record in kind of a lousy division, but to have those records and to have Baker Mayfield for the majority of all of that, especially with the offense production that you had from, you know, Mike Evans, your defensive-minded coach, and you're allowing, 44 points to the Bills. To me, I feel like you've had the offensive output that you've wanted as a defensive coach. That's something you don't even have to worry about. I feel like this is a defensive coach's dream to be in this position. But yeah, I feel like every year we tout the Buccaneers as a potential player in the playoffs, only to be let down just because they get outscored. And Baker Mayfield can come out here and put up MVP numbers, but at the same time, I feel like Todd Bowles just always seems to fail when the time is nigh. And honestly, watching the Bills game yesterday, yes, the Bills are a tough opponent, but honestly, I'm just not sold at this point that Todd Bowles is a quality NFL head coach.
That's a very interesting take, because I feel like, and I'm not even sure that you're wrong. I think you may be correct, but I feel like when you hear, like, Todd Bowles is associated typically with, like, the fact that people view very highly of him.
Highly of him. I think he'd be one grand defensive coordinator.
He's a phenomenal defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Always has been. When he was with Arizona,
how
good their defense was in Arizona.
Yeah.
Shoot. The Jets had a really good defense when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Missed the playoffs by one game his first year as head coach, for what it's worth.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, you're right. They're barely squeaking in, and... you could make a very easy argument that they're consistently underperforming on defense.
Yeah, and I feel like overall, I mean, like 8-9 in a mediocre division, 9-8, 10-7. I feel like those are, you know, six very winnable games right off the bat, and all of a sudden you're winning five outside of your division. That to me is a little, you know, not grand.
Yeah.
And then it just sets you up for failure in the playoffs, because guess what? You're not facing your divisional opponents in the playoffs.
Correct.
So to me, I don't know. I think I'm going to start taking a bigger microscope on Todd Bowles, to be honest with you, because I'm very curious about it.
I like that one.
Ooh.
What do you got?
That's all I had for an overreaction.
Okay.
All
right.
I thought that would stun you.
Yeah.
And I'd get booed out of here.
No, I think it's one where you could immediately be like, psh, you're
right.
An idiot.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you laid out the numbers, you laid out his records, like that's a slightly above average head coach in a poor division.
Yeah, in a very winnable. Yeah. I mean, he's won the division all the years, but at the same time, you have to take advantage of it. With Saints and, you know, Carolina having been, what, 2-3 wins total.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, you know, you expect to be 12-5. 13-4, you know, get yourself some home field advantage and take care of business. Like, the NFC playoffs should run through you.
Yeah.
But he just hasn't taken advantage of what Baker Mayfield has resurrected his career there, I feel like.
Okay.
Yep.
I like that one. All right. So, I feel like if we post this, I'm going to get a lot of crap for this.
Oh, no.
By Christmas. So, technically the 21st, so that Sunday.
Okay.
The Miami Dolphins are going to be 7-7 and have a shot at the playoffs.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Who?
The Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins.
The Miami freaking Dolphins.
Lay me out their schedule.
So the next 2 weeks to get them, they're 4-7 right now, right? So they're on a 3-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
Squeaked one out in where were they? Brazil, Madrid, somewhere.
It's in Spain.
Yeah. Wherever, overseas.
Get this man a map.
Squeaked it out. So they're 4-7. Their next 2 weeks are against our teams.
Oof.
The same, they, so they're on bye
yeah.
right now. They're on bye coming yeah. back from Asia. And then,
oh.
And then they got the Saints and then the Jets. So that's 6-7 right there. And then Sunday night football, they got the Steelers.
Okay.
Who knows what situation that I think. So now that I say that, I think that's in Pittsburgh, which we all know how they do in cold weather.
Cold weather, yeah.
Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh. And yeah. it's actually Monday Night Football. But if they win that game, they're 7-7. They play December 21st, Sunday Night Football against the Bengals. And I truly believe if they get to 7-7, they have a real shot to make the playoffs.
7-7?
They would win out and go 10-7.
Uh-huh. That's a brutal claim.
It's a nice way of saying that I'm an idiot.
I mean, okay, I'll give you, you know, us too. Our team sucks.
Yeah.
We're honest
yeah.
about that. So I think Miami has definitely kind of figured it out a little bit more. Tua hasn't been turning the ball over at the pace that he was the first half of the year. Achane has been otherworldly for that offense.
Yeah.
I mean, McDaniel's kind of like turned the keys to the engine. And this is kind of why I called them an enigma when we were doing our preseason.
They still are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have the offense to pull off these sort of runs, especially with not potent offenses like ours. I mean, Tyrod Taylor and Tyler Shrek probably ain't going to scare the world, to be honest with you. But it is what it is. I mean, in Pittsburgh. I mean, if you can get Achane the ball and somehow, you know, run the ball on Pittsburgh, you have a real shot there. So, I mean, it is a little bit of a reach.
I mean,
as we talked about, Jacksonville's at 6-4 or 6-5 right now. I mean, 7-7. I mean, Jacksonville can only win one more game. And at that point, you got all these other teams in front of them too.
Yeah. So Jacksonville's 6-4 right now. They hold the last wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only teams that are above Miami, just for the record, that are outside of the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
are Houston, Kansas City, and Baltimore.
Okay.
There's only three teams they got. Well, counting Jacksonville, there's four teams they got to jump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's that crazy.
I mean, they have the schedule to do it.
Correct,
yeah.
They do.
Especially
so I'll just give you their whole schedule. Hold on. What did I just do? So their schedule as a whole is very doable.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on bye, coming back from Poland.
Poland.
They're home to the Saints.
Warsaw.
They're at the Jets. They're at the Steelers. They're home to the Bengals, which who knows, Joe Burrow, no Joe Burrow, what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
So they. Here's why I say they need to get to 7-7, and I didn't phrase this correctly. It's crucial that they get to 7-7 because their remaining two games, or really 8-7, their two games to finish the season, home to the Bucs and then at the Patriots. So that's where the schedule gets challenging. That's where, you know, you gotta be 8-7 with those last 2 weeks left to have any shot. But those other, you know, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Saints, the Jets. Those are winnable games.
Yeah, those are very winnable games.
So I mean, I don't know. I think it could be crazy. I said, you know what? As I was writing this down, I think I did the same thing with the Dolphins last year. I'm pretty confident that I'm like I went on a rant about how they were going to sneak in the playoffs and it just didn't happen. So take that all for what it's worth. I guess I just have something for the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, man. Like they just. I like watching their offense. I really do.
Yeah.
I love watching Devon Achane, partly because I have him as a running back, and he's been just a gold mine.
Yeah.
From a fantasy football perspective. But when they're good, they're a very fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Offensively.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have their best offensive production out in Madrid. Spain.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. But at the same time, ever since the chance for Mike Badanich to lose his job come out, and they fired the GM instead.
I mean, he almost lost his job this week, by the way.
Who did?
McDaniel. Oh. If they would have lost that game in Cancun. I'm just going to continue to say random places because I know it bothers you. Yes, that fourth down in regulation when all you needed was a field goal to win the game or take the lead, and he decided to go for it and got stuffed.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was a fireable offense if they had lost that game.
Yeah.
But they didn't, and he lives to see another game.
Yep.
So, but yeah, let's keep an eye on Miami.
I will keep an eye on Miami.
Okay. I'll revisit this every week.
Well, perfect. Miami tracker.
And then my second one, so I'm just going to apologize to Shane Steichen. I'm going to apologize to Mike Vrabel. I'm going to apologize to anybody that you want.
Nobody for Coach of the Year.
Dude, it's done. It's over with.
Oh, is it?
It's done. Kyle Shanahan's Coach of the Year.
Kyle Shanahan.
The fact, and I talked about him a few weeks ago, earlier in the season, but the fact that they are 7-4 with the amount of injuries, and they're getting right.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting healthy. They had Purdy back. They destroyed the Cardinals this week. If they make the playoffs with the injuries that they have had, so just to rattle off some names, the first two are out for the year, Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could maybe add Brandon Ayuk to that since I don't even know if that guy still exists. Or Ricky Pierce. Did Ricky Pierce all play this week?
I didn't see.
But guys that have missed extended time, Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Pearsall, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. There's other guys that I didn't even write down. Like, the list goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
This is his best coaching job. It's far and away. It's not even a contest. I just so envy having a coach like that. As a fan of a dysfunctional team. and who knows? Aaron Glenn could turn out to be great. I'm not giving up on him yet. But just Kyle Shanahan, like, it's literally a masterclass what he's been able to do this far. I can't believe that they're 7-4.
Yeah. No. I'm trying to think of the words to really, really measure it. But no, everything that comes to mind, you've already said. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has done everything that a head coach needs to do to keep his team competitive and right the ship with Mac Jones of all quarterbacks until Purdy got healthy. I mean, as they're getting right, all of a sudden you wonder if this is a three-team race for the NFC West, to be honest with you. Obviously, the Rams are flying high right now at, what, 8-2?
They're 8-2, yeah.
Seattle's right behind them at 7-3. And then San Francisco at 7-4.
And San Francisco has beaten Seattle already this year.
Yep. So, to me, yeah, San Francisco has always been that dirty, get down in the trenches sort of team that knocks you in the foot and right in the face. And, like, maybe if you beat them, but you'll remember them sort of thing. And, I mean, I'm not sure if they have what it takes to really make a deep playoff run, to be honest with you. I think the injuries with Fred Warner and Bosa have kind of dictated that much. But, I mean, Christian McCaffrey is a game changer, obviously. If you get Juwan Jennings and Pearsall and Brock Purdy and George Kittle, that connection reestablished, all of a sudden you're looking at a very competent offense. But Kyle Shanahan, honestly, he's looking at some votes. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction just because of how unexpected both the Colts and Patriots have come out of nowhere in their respect. So I think it's probably going to come down to one of those two coaches. But, yeah, Kyle Shanahan has definitely earned his praise. I feel like every team in that division is kind of found their long-term solution at head coach, except the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sean McVay has been there a while, and he'll continue being there for as long as he wants to be there. And then Mike McDonald there in Seattle. It's been tremendous to watch that division flourish into what it is now.
So here's a take I heard this morning, which as he talked through it and explained his reasoning, I'm like, that's a bold take, but I like it. So I was at the gym, I was listening to Unsportsmanlike this morning, and they were talking about the Eagles and who from the NFC can beat the Eagles, and they talked about, the teams that you associate with winning, the Lions, the Packers, they can never beat the Eagles.
Right.
And Evan Cohen was like, who I think could beat the Eagles? the 49ers because they've done it. They're the one team in the NFC that over the last 2 or 3 years you can say has had success against Philadelphia. And I'm like, dang, that's really interesting. That's really good. Like, I like that. So
it might play out, too, with how the seedings are, too.
It could. It very easily could.
The 49ers are, what, the seventh seed right now?
That's a great question. Let's see. Let's check it out.
Maybe above that. I mean, 7 wins should get you somewhere up there, but...
You broke my phone.
Oh, you broke your phone. Fantastic.
Yep. All right. 7 seed, yep.
Yep, 7 seed.
Yep.
7-4.
7-4, 7 seed, yeah.
Hmm.
Well, so who knows? I thought that was a great take because he's right. Yeah. The Niners are the only team that really has had any success against the Eagles in the last, call it, 5 years.
Yeah, the Rams still the 1 seed. All of a sudden, the Eagles are the 2.
Oh, the Rams was the other team that they were like, the Rams can't beat the Eagles, the Lions can't beat the Eagles, and the Packers. That's what the team was. It was the Rams, so that's why he called out. He called out Niners. The Niners. And yeah. I thought that was a great take. So we'll see.
Hey.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Like but, yeah, Kyle Shanahan, coach of the year. Lock it up.
Lock it up.
All right. MVP watch. So if you missed last week, this is something that we're doing for the remainder of the year. Every week we'll give an MVP watch, kind of like our power rankings, how we do power rankings 1 through 5. But with MVPs, we're doing 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm.
Give you our top 3 candidates for MVP, why, if it changed from the week prior, maybe it didn't, and just kind of talk through it. Because one thing that we've learned from doing this show for 3 years now and talking about the MVP race is that it gets a lot of attention.
Yeah.
That's probably the most feedback we get on this show is when we talk about MVP. Because everybody
for
has...
For better or for worse.
Yeah, for good and bad. Because everybody has different opinions on how they view MVP.
Right.
And so I just think that it's a good topic.
Yeah.
So MVP watch. I'll let you go. You can tell people what your list was last week and then if you have any changes this week.
Yeah, no, mine stayed the same, to be honest with you. Last week it was Jonathan Taylor, number one. I still have him as my personal front runner. Matthew Stafford, obviously coming off an important win, especially for the NFC West title over the Seahawks. That's your main opponent for the crown there. But he had another couple of touchdowns. So Matthew Stafford stays the 2. And then Drake May. I'm curious to see how you feel about Drake May. Obviously, you've been a little bit not on the boat for Drake May, the anti-Drake May boat, if anything. So, obviously, you saw him on Thursday night against the Jets. I'm curious to see your thoughts on Drake May.
Yeah, so I was impressed.
Okay.
I didn't walk away thinking, like, oh, my God, what an idiot I am. He's clearly the MVP. I didn't have that reaction.
Right.
I thought that he's playing better than he should be for a second-year quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's very in control.
Yeah.
Like, the Jets, I felt like, multiple times were a half step away from sacking him, but he was able to move his feet, shift in the pocket, throw it at a weird angle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he started the game, I want to say it was like 12 for 12 or something.
He had a lot of
completions in a row to start the game. So he played great. He played very well, very in control. I don't know. I guess I just don't see... He's playing well enough to win, but does that make him an MVP?
Yeah.
Remove him from that. So, again, my take on MVP is remove that player, and what does that team become?
Mm-hmm.
Insert somebody else, and I still think that the Patriots are a dang good team. So, I don't know. Did my opinion of him grow? For sure. For sure. I thought he played very well. He uses his tight end, which we talk about. Young quarterbacks love a good tight end. Hunter Henry had a heck of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs had a good game. But in reality, Trevion Henderson kind of stole the show.
Yeah.
He's the other rookie that had the best game the best game of the day, you could say.
Yeah. And it should have been the Trevion Henderson show a long time ago.
New England,
to be honest with you.
So, again, I think he's a great player. Mm-hmm. I think that they found their franchise quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Which pisses me off. and I think that he's, like I said, for this being, he's midway through his second year.
Yeah.
He looks well above his time.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't quite understand the MVP hype.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't look like he did anything, like, you know, tremendous on Thursday night that puts him above, you know, something like Josh Allen did yesterday. I mean, Josh Allen gets the superb plays or, you know, the long passes. Yeah. I think he's the only player in history to throw for 3+ touchdowns, 20+ yards, and rush for three more or whatever it was. Some insane stat. I mean, Drake May probably won't give that to you. But what he is steady. He's steady Eddie, sort of ball. So to me, Drake May kind of goes with the whole best quarterback on the best team sort of case. And maybe it is a flawed discussion in how we view the MVP race, or how the media views the MVP race in terms of who we start discussing. But Drake May, I mean, being third in the league in passing going into last week, I mean, that kind of speaks dividends, especially with the cast around him. I feel like we don't really know a lot of his receivers outside of Stephon Diggs, Demario Douglas, Kyle Williams with a long ball here and there. And, yeah, Hunter Henry. He's been feeding the ball to Hunter Henry pretty consistently all year. So, and with the emergence of Travion Henderson, it's only going to spike up his numbers, I feel like, a little bit more, with a little bit more of a screen game and anything thumping, because I think we both can agree that Henderson is a lot more explosive than Ramondre Stevenson, to be honest with you. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up in the ranks in terms of, you know, touchdown and interception ratios or touchdowns overall, yards by the end of the year. But as of right now, I think Matthew Stafford definitely has the quarterback overall quarterback situation outplayed overall against Drake May. I definitely pick Matthew Stafford having a career year over there in L.A. over Drake May right now. But Jonathan Taylor still, to me, is the front runner.
I think most sports books have Stafford as the favorite right now.
Yeah.
Which I can't argue with.
Yeah.
So I made a slight tweak on mine this week.
Okay.
I still have Stafford 1. I still have JT 2.
Mm-hmm.
Baker, my boy Baker, took, you know, he fell off this week. And I feel like I need to issue a public apology to Josh Allen for not being on my list.
Josh Allen.
Because that game yesterday really was a reminder that, like, this Buffalo team would be a disaster without him.
Mm.
He's the MVP. Do I think he's going to win it right this second? No, I do not. Do I think that if he continues, I think that yesterday very easily could have catapulted him to eventually where we're like, yeah, Josh Allen's going to win the MVP again. Because you just talked about it. 6 touchdowns, 3 rushing, 3 passing. My fantasy team thanks you. 57 points. I still might lose, by the way.
Ooh.
Which is depressing.
Yeah, look at that.
But, I mean, again, as I was writing this down, as I was going through it, if you use my argument, if I'm going to use my argument against myself,
mm-hmm.
remove said player from the team and evaluate that team,
mm-hmm.
my God, the Bills would be so bad.
Yeah.
They'd be so bad. And so I feel like the more I talk, the more I can make an argument that Josh Allen is the MVP, but he needs to continue to play that way.
Yeah.
He needs to have a few more really good games because, I mean, you can't argue. The dude single-handedly won that game yesterday.
Yeah, to me, it's hard to. Like, yes, Josh Allen's a heck of a player. He's a top probably 2 quarterback in the league right now. The problem with my mindset on it is, does he have the players around him to continue this level of production?
But isn't that what makes you the MVP?
Yeah, but we always talk about how his receivers lack separation, and all of a sudden he can't complete a pass. At that point, how much do we pinpoint on him, and how much do we pinpoint on the receivers? And if his receivers can't do anything, then all of a sudden it makes him look bad in that sort of way. And then his MVP case kind of goes down the drain. But, yes, he's very fond, or we've come to expect him to put these sorts of performances maybe 3, 4, 5 times a year. To kind of solidify and insert himself with the case of MVP. And I try to not get too enamored with it. Because it's two sides of the same coin, honestly. Who do you want, the steady Eddie, or do you want the guy who, you know, did you see the first play where he kind of, like, lobbed it?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
I mean, that could, who would have thought he would have ended it with the statistics that he did? After that, kind of poor decision.
Yeah.
But I mean, if his receivers aren't separating like that. They haven't been in some games previously. All of a sudden, what does that make Josh Allen at this point? All of a sudden, you're starting to rely on James Cook in that run game to kind of create the separation. And I mean, it all works together. I talked about how James Cook is a lot more viable and a lot more potent and important in that offensive scheme than he's led on to be. But yes, Josh Allen will have these games, but I'm not quick enough to bite on that right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he took over my third spot.
Yeah.
We'll see where we end up the next couple weeks. The Bills have an exciting matchup Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
So I mean, I feel like any time one of the big names has a primetime game, and God forbid they play good, it's MVP. So
right.
It could get even higher mm-hmm. next week if he has a good game on Thursday against a really tough Texans defense.
Yeah,
tough.
If he can put up 44 points on the Texans defense, now we're talking. We're cooking.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. All right. So we will switch over to power rankings. What do you got this week?
Power rankings. So Colts were on bye, so they stayed at one. Pats won. They stayed at two. Seahawks lost, so they got out of my power ranking. So I have the Rams taking over their spot. Makes sense to me. The Broncos jumped up a spot.
Makes sense to me.
Yep, there you go. Yep, works out. Checks out. Broncos, they moved up a spot. And they continue playing to the level of their opponent. It's like you got to be faster than that commercial. Yep. Yeah, that's the Broncos all day. And then number five. As much as I hate it, I got the Eagles in there. Vic Fangio and that defense is playing at a very elite level. That offense, though, it's just it's sometimes cringeworthy to watch.
Yeah, this week was tough for me because I felt like I finally had to add some teams on here that I don't want to add on. But I kept the Rams at number one. I had them at one last week.
Yeah.
I had Seattle two last week, so they did fall down a little bit. So the Colts took that number two spot. Number three, I put the Eagles on there.
Okay.
I think that, we are so quick to point out when teams have an easy schedule.
Yeah.
But dude, you look at the teams that the Eagles have beaten.
Mm-hmm.
They've played everybody.
Yeah,
off the top of my head, they beat the Rams, the Lions, the Packers.
They're playing the first place
everybody.
Schedule. Yeah.
They're winning.
Yeah.
So, their defense is as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense, I think, will eventually figure it out. So I have them at number three. I begrudgingly added the Broncos to my top five just because I feel like that yesterday was a moment for them to crumble.
Yeah.
Right? They could have very easily, it could have been, okay, here we go again.
Yeah,
typical, same old Chiefs, same old Broncos. And it just didn't happen that way. So, again, it was an ugly win. I mean, Will Lutz, I think, was the MVP for the Broncos. He kicked a million field goals yesterday.
I feel like Will Lutz should be the MVP for the Broncos.
Yes.
I feel like I've seen that man have a game-winning field goal at least four times.
Correct.
This year alone.
So, are they winning ugly? Absolutely. But do they have a dang good defense? Yes, they do.
Yep.
And yesterday was really, really impressive to me.
Yeah.
Regardless of the score, they were able to squeak out a game that I felt like it had all the makings of a Chiefs win.
Yeah, we kind of expect the Chiefs would win that.
Correct.
Yep.
I kept the Seahawks at five.
Okay.
I think, so honestly, out of the four late games, that was the one I paid the most attention to.
Yeah.
Dude, the Seahawks are so good. The Seahawks are so good. They should have won yesterday.
Yeah.
To
still have a chance after four interceptions by Sam Darnold.
That defense,
yeah,
it might be the best defense in the league.
Ooh.
It might. The Seahawks defense, they were flying all over the field. I mean, they kept Stafford. I mean, granted, he still threw two touchdowns, but I want to say he had about $160 passing. And I mean, he had the prior three games had thrown for 13 touchdowns.
Yeah,
so that's a significant step down. Kyron Williams didn't have his usual game. The Seahawks defense, dude. They are freaking legit.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as Darnold doesn't play the Rams, he's great. He's been great. Like,
yeah.
If you think about his game against the Rams in the playoffs last year, and then what they did to him yesterday.
Yeah.
McVay and that defensive staff clearly knows what they need to do
against Darnold.
So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my God, here comes the typical Sam Darnold, because it literally seems like it's just against the Rams.
Yeah.
But I think you put the Seahawks up against a vast majority of the teams in this league, I'm taking the Seahawks.
Yeah, the NFC West is going to be a tough out for any team. Correct. In the NFC, to be honest with you. You're going to have, there's a good chance you're going to have three NFC West teams in that, that playoff picture. And facing any of them is going to be brutal. Yeah. You're going to have to hope that they face each other and knock each other out.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I wrote, as I was doing this, I wrote Patriots at five, which was another team that I was begrudging. But then as I wrote it, I'm like, I truly believe that the Seahawks would eat Drake May alive.
Really?
I do. Mm-hmm. I really think that defense is elite.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably one of the better defenses we've seen in a long time. So that's where I'm at with Seattle. As much as I love the Rams and think highly of the Rams, they should have lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. So I kept Seattle's still in my top five even after a loss.
Gotcha.
All right, we will finish with the best segment that we have.
Is that no one ever?
No. 1-3 again last week, Jeffrey.
Mystery consistent.
Yes, thank you. So, also, I'm just going to... I told you I was going to lose my you-know-what this week if it happened.
Uh-huh.
Guess what, Jeff? It happened. So, week eight.
Uh-huh. Okay,
my lock was the Jags over the Raiders.
Yeah.
-3.5, so they had to win by 4.
Yeah.
They did not win by 4. Week 9, my upset was the Jags over the Texans.
Uh-huh.
Did not happen. I told you last week that if they freaking did it to me again, I was going to lose my mind. And guess what, Jeffrey? I picked. This is the worst one. This is the worst one by far. This was them double middle fingering me right in the face. I picked my lock.
Your lock
was the Chargers over the Jags.
What was the spread on that?
-2.5. So they only had to win by 3. They barely scored 3 freaking points the whole game. The Jags just whooped on them. Like, I could not believe what I was watching. I could not believe it. And the best part is you picked against the Jags this next week.
Yep.
So
against the Jags?
Didn't you pick against the Jags?
No, they're my lock.
Oh, they're your lock.
They're my lock.
Oh, so they'll win for you.
Yeah, probably.
But, so I just cannot believe that 3 weeks in a row the Jags have screwed me like that. So, you know, that my lock was the Chargers over the Jags. That did not happen.
Nope.
My upset was the Bengals over the Steelers.
Nope.
That did not happen.
No.
I got the Rams.
That's 2 blowouts.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
That's raw.
I know.
That is raw.
What do they know?
What do they know?
Rams over Seattle, I got correct. And then I had picked Tampa over Buffalo.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I finished 2-2, so I'm not
average.
Not
yeah, I would kill game. For 2-2. I really two would. I haven't seen 2-2 since like week 1.
Last year.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I had the Texans over the Titans as my lock. Texans won, but only by 3. They were supposed to win by 7.5. That was the spread. Well, that didn't happen. Panthers over the Falcons was my upset. So they needed OT, but Bryce Young pulled
squeak
it out. Squeaked
that one out.
Yep, okay. Absolutely. Seahawks over the Rams. I was one Jason Myers field goal away from winning that one.
Yeah.
And then I had the Bills over the Bucks.
Okay.
Foresaw that one.
All right.
And then, so that, I actually went back and did my total for the whole year. I'm 16-19 on the things I say.
You want to do it real quick?
Well, if you want. I mean, our SportsCenter thing or ESPN thing, I'm 162.
Like, are you really?
Yeah. I have 100 wins. And it pains me so.
It's just, look at it. 0-3, 1-2, 0-3. I mean, it's just, it's disgusting. 2-1. Hey.
Hey, what are you
doing? Week 4. Week 4 was a good week. Yeah. All right, we're not going to do that because that's just going to make me sad. All right, what do you got this week?
Oh, boy. No. Well, my lock, I got the Jags with the Cardinals. You can't figure out the Jags, so I'll take a stab at it.
Okay.
The Cardinals, obviously, you're
the Cardinals are totally going to win this game.
Probably. At this point, I don't know what Jags team is going to show up and what Cardinals team is going to show up.
Did you see, I'm sure you saw, that Brissett set a record for completions yesterday?
47, right?
47 completions, not attempts.
Yeah.
Completions.
Completion.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was astounding to me. I have no idea where that came from. I mean, it was, necessary because they were getting blown out. But, yeah, that was crazy. But, and then my upset. Surprisingly, the Chiefs are in favor of the Colts, so I'm picking the Colts over the Chiefs.
Yeah, that was surprising.
So, I don't know why.
It's scary, though. You're picking the Chiefs to lose a third in a row.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the Colts coming off a bye week. That's where my mindset is. If it wasn't a bye week, I'd probably, look at another game. But with a bye week, I'm in favor of the Colts on that one.
Okay.
And our game of the week is the Rams and the Bucks.
Yep.
I'm picking the Rams and the Bucks.
Okay.
Yep.
So my lock, I took your Saints over the Falcons. -2.5. It's the Kirk Cousins show. No Drake London. No Michael Penix. I like the Saints there.
I'm going to tell you right now, Kirk Cousins eats us alive.
Stop.
He does. I can't remember the last time we beat Kirk Cousins, to be honest with you. But I enjoy the confidence.
Yeah, so
thank you.
I'm taking that. We'll watch that on the drive home from Baltimore.
Yep.
My upset, I'll be honest, I really didn't like any upsets this week. I didn't like any of them.
Uh-huh.
So I took the Cowboys over the Eagles.
Okay.
Cowboys are at home. They played the Eagles really tough week one.
Mm-hmm.
And my logic is that the Eagles have to lose eventually. they're 8-2, so gotta sprinkle some L's in there.
This is what we come down to.
This is what it's come to, man. This is what it's come to for me. I mean, who cares at this point?
It's
really
about that time.
Might as well just get bold with it. Might as well get crazy with it.
It's about time Eagles lose. Yeah,
let's just. They're due.
They're due.
They're very much into the due part of it. So they're due for an L. So I think the Cowboys are going to give it to them, and then I also took the Rams over the Bucks.
Yep. Perfect.
Nope. So that's what we got.
Awesome.
Again, we are headed to Baltimore next week.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff and I are driving up early Sunday. I convinced him somehow to go sit in the cold weather and watch the Jets and the Ravens. It's going to be the Tyrod Taylor show for the Jets.
Yep.
Which I'm not sure how I feel about that. My dad and I, obviously both Jets fans. He is of the opinion that it has nothing to do with Fields. He thinks it would be the same result. I argue differently. I think that Tyrod throws the ball downfield, and also the play calling will change with Tyrod because they know that he's capable of throwing the ball downfield. Fields just doesn't. He just doesn't. Like, end of sentence.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm curious. I mean, the Ravens do not have a good defense.
They've won four in a row.
They're a hot team.
Yep.
They gotta lose sometime.
they're
due for an L. Might as well, right? Going the same logic as the Eagles. No, but they're very. One thing that I like about the Jets. Let's be very clear. Do I think the Jets are gonna pull off an upset? No, they're 13-point underdogs. I just hope it's a good game that keeps us entertained into the fourth quarter.
Right.
That's all. Kind of like Thursday night did against the Patriots.
Right.
That's all I really can ask for. But I will say, the Ravens have a porous run defense. And the Jets are top five in rushing.
Okay.
So, who knows?
How much of that is Justin Fields, though, compared to
Breece Hall? It's a decent amount, but Breece Hall, yeah, I guess that's fair.
I'm just curious.
I don't know the numbers, okay. But, Breece Hall has had a, when he gets the touches, that's a whole other conversation, but when he gets the touches, he does
he's
a really good job.
Yeah.
He does a good job. So I think that's an advantage that the Jets have. We'll see. Right now, conditions say it's going to be good weather on Sunday, at least for us, mid-50s, so we're not going to totally freeze.
Right.
But either way, we're going on the road. I'm excited. I'm taking this guy with me. Hopefully, maybe we'll put out some content, a few pictures, a few videos. We got a long road trip, 6 hours there and back. We're going to watch the Saints game on the iPad on the way home.
Absolutely.
And it'll be fun. And then we'll be back on Monday to
record
everything and tell you guys how it was. So hope you guys enjoyed, and we will talk to you next week.
Yeah. See ya.
Peace.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.